What is going on, Momo? How you feeling? Momo's in for John today. What's up?
Can I tell you, I look great today.
Really?
I look great today.
Oh, that's
I had the hair and makeup people today. I was like, I need a little something extra today. I need a little something.
So what'd they give you?
So
did they give you
some
rouge, eyeliner, some of that stuff?
I got extra lashes. Extra lashes.
Fancy.
So normally they put like a strip of eyelashes on to like really make them pop. And I was like, I need some extra. I need a little extra today.
Hey, let me see. Look that way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See that?
Look at that.
Where is that? Is that on around the horn?
I was on the jump today. Yeah.
Oh, on the jump.
Yeah, I was on the jump.
I like the hair too. Look at the hair.
Yeah, look. I know. And she gave me a little extra. She gave me a little extra.
Wow. Curls in the back. Yeah.
Very
fancy. I wore earrings today.
Nice.
Well, I can't see those with the headphones.
Yeah, no, I took those.
Big day. Now, why? Out of curiosity, why don't you try to do this every day?
Oh, it's way too much work.
But isn't somebody else doing it anyway?
Yeah, they're doing it. So the truth is, I was on, Malika Andrews was hosting today.
Yes.
She is my little sister at the company, right? She's like 26.
She's great.
She's doing a great job, and I wanted to be there to support her. She's never hosted before, so that she's just filling in for Rachel while she's on vacation here this week. And I wanted to support her and say, like, because I know how terrifying it is when you've never hosted, right?
Right. You've hosted this show,
yeah, once
right?
or twice, and I was terrified. I mean, I literally couldn't sleep. I was nervous. I was, you know, she's all cool as a cucumber there, but I was like, but she's also like, strikingly gorgeous in addition to being a really good writer, a really good reporter, a really good just overall person.
Yes.
And so I was like, I need a little zhuzh today. I need some extra lashes.
Zhuzh.
Some extra curl in my hair.
Can I just before we get to your zhuzh, you know, I want to go back and review what Morales was talking about in the little intro promo there, the imaging there.
Yeah.
It is easy to mix up Harry Styles and Justin Bieber
when
they're both singing about fruit. Harry sings about watermelon sugar, watermelon sugar, yeah. That's what he does. And Bieber sings about peaches. I get my peaches down from Georgia, baby. So it's easy to mix those two up.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're not really a big into pop culture, it's easy to mix up.
I know exactly who Harry Styles is and Justin Bieber is.
I'm like terrible with that.
That's Harry Styles' biggest hit. That was like the hit of the last
year.
Yeah,
and I know what it's about, too.
What is it about?
Okay. I can't say.
No. Do the Mace thing where we'd say what the song's about.
No.
Without saying what the song's about.
Not going to do it. Google it.
I want to just make you squirm. It's always fun.
You know, I was talking to Lindsay today. Ted Lasso's coming out now. Season 2 is on its way out, right? So I think
is it out or is it on its way out?
We're 4 episodes in, I think.
Okay.
Jorge, does that sound right? Four episodes into Ted Lasso?
I'm on the third one of the second season, so I'm not sure.
Okay. I think we're on to the fourth one. I think the fourth one just came out.
Okay.
And I was talking with our friend Dave Singer. I was at a lunch on Sunday. So I'm talking to Dave Singer, and Dave says it's better when the shows come out once per week instead of dropping all at once, like Netflix does.
Yeah.
So Ted Lasso's got on Apple Plus. The show comes out once a week. And
which
you
day?
Wait for the episode. I think it's Fridays it comes out, right?
So it's like how TV used to be.
Correct. Like how TV used to be. And then Netflix will drop like a whole season of Stranger Things,
all at once.
A whole season of Ozark, just bam, everything. Which do you think is better?
I like to binge. And I have turned into a binger. Not so good with like daily shows. The only ones I can do week to week are the ones that are not serial shows. Like, so I can watch Below Deck every week and I don't need to binge it. I can watch Million Dollar Listing every week. I don't need to binge. That's fine.
No, I mean, those are just one-offs.
Yeah,
anyway,
just one-offs
right?
anyway. But when that's why I haven't started watching season 2 yet, because I just want to wait till it's all out and then I can just binge it. Because I'll probably I usually watch like 3 or 4 episodes a sitting. I don't do all 10 at once. I'm not like
done
one.
So do you think it's
night.
Better for the show, not for you, but better for the show to come out one per week, or is it better for it to drop all at once?
You know, I go back to Game of Thrones. It really depends on the show, but Game of Thrones became an event every week. We were like, Game of Thrones Sunday night. And that worked, and I was good with that. Like, I would have binged it if it came out all at once. I totally would have binged it, but it became such an event every Sunday that it was fine, right?
Yeah.
So I can't say there's – I normally would have said I like to binge because that's my viewing habits now. We've all turned into those type of people, especially during the pandemic. But it's – I honestly feel like some shows can pull it off.
Lynch, what do you think? Better to drop one show a week or better to drop everything all at once?
Well, I, like Ramona, would prefer to binge it. And I don't know. I think that I don't think there's ever going to be another like must watch TV, like weekly event like Game of Thrones ever again.
I hope we get another one of those.
No, I mean, most people would agree that that's never going to happen again. Or that's just not people's viewing habits anymore. Kind of like carried over from what was, how many seasons was it? You know,
It was Game of Thrones. I think it was seven seasons.
Yeah. So that carried over from like the 2000, whatever year it was.
Right.
So I don't think in 2021, I don't think that that's people's viewing habits. I think people would rather binge. And I'm guessing that like Netflix and all these companies that do put them all out at once did a lot of research and they've agreed that I think you get more buzz on social and more like more people talking about it when you do it all at once,
as opposed to episode by episode. Because
yes.
To me, episode 100%. By episode, you get buzz on each episode. Like there's a lot of buzz on episode 4 of Ted Lasso. I don't know if you do you watch it.
I disagree.
Do you watch Ted Lasso?
I tried watching it and I was just like, okay.
So Ted Lasso had a somewhat controversial episode 4, and a lot of people are talking about it on social media, which, you know, I think is sort of like olden times. It's sort of like the old days.
The Talkers. When
a show, but it's got to be a great show. And honestly, I don't think it's a comedy. I think it's got to be a big dramatic series that you could release once every week. Like Apple Plus released Morning Show once every week. Did you watch that one, Momo?
I watched it. Binged it.
That was great.
Binged it.
That was one episode a week. Ted Lasso's one episode a week.
Yeah,
that's
I wait
the
till the
Apple
whole thing
story.
Comes out and then I binge. Now I did watch their
too.
Other show, Tehran. I did watch that once a week. I started off, I watched like 3 episodes in a row, I got hooked. And then I was like, wait, it's every week. Oh no, I have to catch up. Ugh.
Yeah.
I was disappointed.
What's your preference,
Football
Jorge?
Is life.
Football is life.
Danny Rojas. You know, I'm working on getting that jersey. You know they sell those jerseys, right?
The Danny Rojas jersey?
Yeah, I'm getting that jersey for sure. I'll post it when I get it.
Oh, that'd be great. I guess it's not going to have the what airline did they? Oh, I don't want to give anything away.
I don't know. But
yeah,
whatever.
They crossed an airline.
But no, I rather watch everything at once. Like, not. I don't want to wait 1 week for the next
Everybody
episode.
Wants to binge. Yeah, everybody wants to binge, so why not give the people what they want? All right, all this is a clever way of diverting from the performance last night by Kenley Jansen. He did get the save. They wind up winning the game. Matt Beatty with a big RBI double, two-run double, that gave the Dodgers a 4-3 victory. But Kenley Jansen came in to the ninth inning and gave up 2 hits, a walk, and an earned run. He has struggled of late. Momo and I are both, as we've said on the show before, Kenley Island. But these numbers may be hard to argue with, Momo.
Mm-hmm.
13 appearances since the All-Star break. He's got a 7.62 ERA, and he's blown 3 saves, 4 of 7 in save opportunities. Does that shake you at all?
Well, how much of that is just factoring in that one bad week?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. It factors in that one bad week, the week where he blew 2 saves. That's what it comes down to.
Wasn't last night his second night in a row pitching?
Yes, he got saves back-to-back games.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I'm not sure he should be doing right now.
I don't think he should be throwing back-to-back, because right now they won't throw him a third day in a row.
Yeah, they definitely should not do that.
Throw him back-to-back games.
I mean, he didn't look as sharp. What was the? I didn't pay as close of attention to the radar gun last night, but I would guess.
One of my favorite things, Momo, is to open up my tweet deck, open up social media when Kenley Jansen comes into the game.
Totally.
It is
I know.
So
People
funny.
Are so harsh on social media. I'm not ready to quit social media, but it just, I don't know.
You can't quit social
media. I can't.
In our
careers, we can't do it right now.
It's your job.
Yeah, it's our job. But I think if I don't do this as a job, I would just get off.
I've made this case before, and I'll make it again.
Yeah.
The toughest job for any bullpen is getting that guy in the seventh inning with 2 runners on to be able to retire the side, or with a runner on second in the eighth inning being able to work out of a jam. Your best reliever should actually be throwing in the seventh and eighth innings as opposed to the ninth inning. That's not to take away anything from Kenley.
Uh-huh.
He's 25 of 29 in save opportunities now, 25 of 29. You know, that's not to take anything away from Kenley, but the one thing I notice about Kenley is if it's a 4-2 game, he's probably going to give up a run. Because you can afford to give up a run. You pitch differently when a runner reaches base. The first run doesn't even matter. That has no bearing on the game whatsoever. It's the second run that does you in. So I always notice Kenley sort of pitches to the situation. If there's room, and he came into that blowout game that you were at. I don't know if you made it all the way. But the Max Scherzer game that we were at two weeks ago.
Oh, I was in the car on the way home.
Yeah, he came into, I want to say, an 8-4 game.
Oh, yeah, I remember. That's why we left. We were like, oh, yeah, he's got this. There's a 4-run lead.
He's got that. It's going to be easy.
We had to tell my friend's son, like, hey, dude, you really can't. You really don't ever leave games early. Like,
don't ever leave
games. This is a fan bad behavior. It's just that he was so young.
Do as we say. Don't do as we do.
Yeah, we were trying to be responsible parents. We were like, oh, it's...
But I started to come around to the idea that maybe there's a rowboat on Kenley Island.
You want to leave?
Maybe there's a rowboat. Okay. It's possible.
It's up to you.
It's
you can
possible.
Leave.
You know, I'm not jumping yet. I'm not jumping off the ship yet. I'm still on the SS Kenley. But I'm starting to wonder. He needs to be able to settle in. And we talked to Andrew Friedman about this the other day, earlier this week, I think on Monday. And, you know, Friedman said, and you've said this before too, he's a big, tall guy. Mm-hmm. The taller you are, the harder it is to maintain your rotation.
Your form.
It's easy to get out of timing. Your timing gets bad sometimes. And I think that sometimes happens with Kenley Jansen. But there's nobody I want on the mound more than Kenley Jansen in the ninth inning. You and I both trust Kenley Jansen.
Yeah, I trust him. Do I trust him to be completely lights out Mariano Rivera? No. But do I think he can handle the pressure of that inning? Does he know? He knows how to get outs. He still has great stuff. I mean, it just feels to me like you can't count on him to be the 99 mile an hour Kenley. You can't count on him to be lights out. But you trust him with an inning that can get away from a lot of people.
Right.
That inning, when you give up that run or when you come into a tough situation, I think he's learned to be a really good pitcher. He's learned just the mental toughness it takes to be that closer. He has that right makeup. And I know what you're saying about the high leverage situations in the seventh and the eighth. That's true.
And it is.
I think the Dodgers have a bunch of good guys like that. They do. Vesia is really good. Victor Gonzalez is really good in those spots.
Hey, Blake Pickford's been good. Obviously, Victor and Blake Treinen. Now, a lot of people, I was listening to the Travis Rogers and Alan Sliwa, You Stole My Billboard at SoFi Stadium show earlier today. And Travis was making the case, and it's a fair one, that Blake Treinen should be closing. That Blake Treinen comes in, retires the side on 8 pitches or whatever he did last night, could have come out for a second inning or should be the ninth inning guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a legitimate case to be made. My question, though, is then what happens to Kenley? If you were to shift the closer responsibilities to Blake Treinen, what does that do to Kenley emotionally? What does that do to him coming into games earlier? I'm not sure that he's necessarily the same guy.
I don't think he's the same guy at all in the seventh or eighth. I think he is the ninth inning guy, and he needs that role. And I'd almost rather have Treinen in the seventh and eighth because those are high leverage situations.
Right. I mean, Treinen is basically your eighth inning guy, night after night after night. He comes in and retires the side quickly, and a lot of people, hey, why not stay with Treinen? He only threw 8 pitches. You know, it's what Dave Roberts has been really good with is letting people on that roster understand their roles. It's one of the jobs that is sort of unsung that a manager has to do, which is to get everybody to sort of buy into whatever their role has to be. And in the case of Kenley Jansen, I just think if you remove him from closing situations, you kind of lose the guy.
Everybody loves Treinen. He's 3-5 this year.
Yeah, but he's 3-5. He is 3-5. You're right. But what's his ERA? All of his numbers are
1.88.
Yeah,
really,
I mean, it's really, you know,
good.
He's had a couple of bad
games.
But
five losses means he was on the hook for 5 of those losses. Would you just say Kenley was 25-29? I mean, you know, Blake looks good because he hasn't been the closer. But what would happen if he was the closer?
Right.
Would it be the same as Kenley? I think it would be pretty much on par.
So I want to open on this because people always have an opinion about Kenley, and we saw last night exactly what happened. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Also, did you hear what Jack Morris, as part of the Detroit Tigers broadcast team, said last night?
Not great.
We've got that coming up for you, too. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, Momo's in for John today, and we're going to get to this Jack Morris thing here just in a minute. I offered you, Momo, my tickets for Rams-Raiders Saturday night at SoFi Stadium. You were not able to attend.
Very sad about it, but I just want to, since you're bringing this up, I just want to ask, yesterday we had a poll.
Yes.
Whether it's a Rams or a Raiders town.
Yes.
And those polls you put up, they have this 24-hour
window. Oh, yeah, they have a 24-hour window,
so
right. I didn't limit
that at?
The window.
What's that at?
Oh, you've already looked?
What's that up to?
You've already looked.
I don't know. Somebody on Twitter hit us saying, what's that up to?
You
I said,
already
let me look.
Looked.
Let me look.
Ramstown or Raiderstown?
What do we think?
Oh, 72% Raiders. That's ridiculous. The Raiders absolutely stuffed the ballot box.
How many votes is there?
It was 50-50. 11,000 votes.
Because you know what? It was all your people yesterday, and then I retweeted it at the end of the show, and I was like, I want to see what happens just once I retweet this.
Well, what do I care about anybody but my... They're my people.
So according to your people, which were far fewer, like 1,000, right?
It was about 50-50. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And then I retweeted it, and it's a lot more people. And
yeah, now... a lot more people, sure. All right, fine.
Plus,
right,
you took a screenshot right after, like, what, 10 minutes after you put the poll? That doesn't count, man.
Yeah,
72% Raiders. 72%.
Yeah. Mm. So, speaking of which, they're there on Saturday, and I don't know if that's even going to look like. The reason I asked Momo, offered my tickets for Saturday, is that we're leaving for Costa Rica on Saturday morning.
Fun.
It's an exhibition game and blah, blah, blah. And nobody's playing their starters. I offered them to Ireland. He's not back yet because Ireland is allegedly a Raider fan. I offered them to Jorge, and Jorge, you couldn't use him.
I can't, sorry.
Which means that they are going to – and Lindsay is in Ohio right now, so she can't use them. She would have been on the list to offer. So it's going to be Corporate Greg.
Whoa.
Corporate Greg is going to get to go to the game.
Look at that.
Now, we were going to do tomorrow night – join Mace and Momo for a night at a local baseball game.
I just texted you about that. I just something we should think about before we do it.
I have decided not going to do it.
Yeah?
Yeah, because of the mask thing coming
back.
Yeah,
I know. I was wondering about that.
All that stuff.
Does it feel like...
But you got people all excited, and then you're going to backtrack on it? That's, you know.
I didn't realize that they all of a sudden we were in mask territory again.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering about. We'll keep talking about it.
Let's hash it out.
It was just a thought
I had.
But
in mask territory, I'm like, I don't know. Not with a mask.
I mean, the truth is I wore a mask last game the whole time, and it was no big deal.
Yeah, I know. You did. And it is no big deal. It's fine to wear a mask. I understand that. I was really hoping to watch Rams games this year without wearing a mask. That may not happen now. I would imagine now, because of the new guidance from, I don't know who gives us guidance,
CDC, our local people.
Yeah, at SoFi Stadium and at Dodger Stadium now, as of Thursday, you're going to be required to wear a mask at all times. So last night, Jack Morris, who is a Hall of Fame pitcher, great pitcher, and a part of the Detroit Tigers broadcast team, was asked about Shohei Ohtani as he was coming up to the plate. Jorge, do you have that?
Now what do you do with Shohei Ohtani?
Be very, very careful.
Oh, God.
Cringe.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What is he thinking?
What is wrong with people? Like, why do you think that's okay?
You know what it is? You just don't have a filter. It's like the first stupid thing pops into your head, and there's not a filter. And it's like, yeah, that's a not good thing to say right there. It's not a good joke. Don't be that guy.
You don't mock one of the great stars.
If you don't have a filter, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you probably shouldn't be broadcasting Major League Baseball games. But that's just me.
So now what happens to Jack Morris? Hall of Fame pitcher, legend, right, in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Famously threw a 10-inning complete game in Game 7 of the World Series when the Twins beat the Atlanta Braves. Just an unbelievable pitcher. But again, listen to what he said.
Well, folks, Shohei Ohtani is coming to the plate, and it's been brought to my attention, and I sincerely apologize if I offended anybody, especially anybody in the Asian community, for what I said about pitching and being careful to Shohei Ohtani. I did not intend for any offensive thing, and I apologize if I did. Certainly respect and have the utmost respect for this guy, and don't blame a pitcher for walking.
All right, so there is the apology. Now the question becomes, in this age that we live in, Momo, and we'll open the phones on this, 877-710-ESPN, is that apology enough, or should Jack Morris be suspended, fined, fired?
Oh, I don't think he should be fired. That's a suspension or a you know, you don't get fined from your job, right? Like, you either get suspended. I think just
people have been fired for less.
Yeah, they've been fired for less. I like, he didn't use a slur or anything. He just mocked that accent. That wasn't great. Bad judgment. Offensive. Yes, I would say 2-game suspension. Does that feel right to you? Like, you need to be punished, but I don't think you have to cancel somebody over that. He did say he was sorry immediately.
Yeah, I'm going to take his apology at face value and say probably from the time he made that original comment to the time he got to that apology, the next time Shohei Ohtani came to the plate, he realized what a terrible mistake.
Oh, come on.
You don't believe he realized?
No. He made a terrible mistake maybe because somebody called him or his partner in the broadcast booth was like, what the hell is wrong with you? Yeah. Or he saw social media.
But he found out it's a terrible mistake, right?
Well, he said it was brought to my attention.
Brought to my attention.
The fact that somebody had to tell him that
that's
okay.
Not okay. So they said that was really bad. You should apologize.
I don't know. I think that the fact that somebody needs to tell you that there's something wrong with that, I can't get over the fact that a lot of these older people, which it always tends to be, I'm not trying to single them out, but, you know, everyone's like, oh, well, he's old and he's used to that being okay. Well, we need to teach them that it's not okay to mock people and make fun of them and be racist anymore. Like, it ever was okay, but people need to, you know, they need to know, like, that's not cool. You can't do that.
Do you accept his apology, Lynch?
I mean, what do you mean? It's not an apology to me.
You don't think that? No, but do you consider that apology to be enough?
I don't think it's very legit. I don't think it's very, I don't know. I think he definitely needs to face some type of consequences. He can't just apologize because somebody told him that wasn't okay and then be done with it. Because I think, again, it's not okay. And I just think the fact that someone needs to tell you that that's not okay, that's messed up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously guy screwed up completely. Guy has a complete blind spot when it comes to Asian American heritage and Asian America stereotypes and all that stuff. But I think this is one where the apology is enough. I don't even believe he should be suspended. We've got to allow people to screw up sometimes.
And say they're sorry.
And say they're sorry and just accept the apology. Yep. Like, I don't think that's a mistake Jack Morris will ever make again. I think that Jack Morris has learned an important lesson in a teachable moment. I don't think we need to fine him or suspend him or penalize him in any way because of this, because he did catch it and he did apologize. Whether somebody said, hey, you better apologize or not, you know, whether somebody said that, I'm sure somebody did, But he still apologized, and it's not something he's going to do again.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I would say one game suspension, two game, just because I do think people like to see consequences instead of just an apology. But I don't think it should be career ending, cancel culture, all that. I mean, like, people need to be allowed to make mistakes. And when you make a mistake, if you own it and you apologize, I think it depends on the severity of the mistake.
Sure. Okay?
There's certain things like I don't think you get to just apologize for and move on. But this to me was old guy said something racially insensitive and inappropriate, brought to his attention. I think he sounded like he got it.
Yeah.
He sounded like he understood it. He will not make the mistake again. And he's sorry. Like, just we got to move on from it, right?
Let's go to Jason in the Valley. Jason, you're on 710. What's going on, man?
Hey, afternoon, guys. Love the show.
Thank
Momo,
you.
Good to have you step in while John's gone. So
thanks.
My whole thing is this. If you're willing to say that unknowingly, let's say because you have no filter, you do that around your friends. You do that around your friends, your family. Maybe you make stupid old guy jokes. But I see... That's a very appropriate way to say it, old guy jokes, because I don't hear people my age, I'm 30 years old, I don't hear people my age making racist quips or remarks all random on public radio, you know, calling a Detroit Tigers game.
Right. So what should happen to Jack Morris?
Well, I mean, he's been suspended indefinitely, and he'll probably be fired due to our current cultural climate. But I feel like you can find a younger, more appropriate legend to replace him, you know?
Yeah.
I agree.
Thank you for the phone call. Yeah, Jack Morris suspended by Bally Sports Detroit as of noon today, as of noon our time. So he's been suspended. Now, will he be fired? That's the question. Will he be fired? I don't think he should be fired. I don't think he should be fired. I think that people should be able to make mistakes, learn from their mistakes, apologize, throw themselves on the mercy of the court, and be able to move on with their careers. All I know about Jack Morris is that he's always been an upright, decent, respectable guy. And it's a fair point from Jason. Chances are, if he does this on the radio or on television, he probably does it in his private life. How does that factor in, Momo?
Oh, I think people say a lot of things in private life they don't say on the radio. A lot of things, right? And in some ways, that's almost worse. Like, I mean, yeah, you do have a filter between what you can say publicly and what you can say privately. But even saying it in private, it's continuing on the stereotype. Like, it's okay behind the scenes. Not really. It's still continuing this idea that it's okay. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean... The only way you can try to understand it, and this is what I try to do when I hear stuff like this, is if I was a member of that group. So, okay, for my group, it would be if somebody's making fun of women or somebody's making fun of
Jewish
people,
yeah,
or something, okay? So those are my two groups that you could make fun of. I mean, I had my neighbor one time said something so inappropriate to me. Like, I was aghast that this guy said this to me. It was like I told him I played softball and he made a gay joke or something. And I was like, did you just say that out loud? Like, is that like, you know, like, you know, he associated being a softball player with being lesbian,
sure,
or something, right?
Sure.
And it was like a very pejorative way of saying it. And I was like, okay, so that's who you are. Okay, right?
Right.
But like, what do I do in that situation? Do I call him out and be like, hey, that was totally inappropriate? Like,
well, here's, okay, so
I mean,
it's
do
funny.
I call him out to his face, or do I just not talk to him anymore?
I will tell you a story that came up on the show last week that is really telling about this, and we'll take some calls on it too. 877-710-ESPN. Jack Morris suspended over this incident where he mocked Shohei Ohtani last night during a Tigers Angels game, either on Detroit TV or radio. I'm not sure which. So we'll get to
that.
It's TV. Plus, we will spin the wheel of questions when we come back. Mason, Ireland, 710.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. day. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN. What's going on?
Hey.
Momo's in today. Fantastic.
You should see me. I look good. Jorge, you see me, right?
Yeah, you're apparently...
The extra lashes.
Yeah, you're judged, apparently. You're judged. Let's go to Eddie in Encino. We're talking about this Ohtani thing with Jack Morris last night. Eddie, you're on 710. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Maze and Momo?
Oh, it's good.
Momo, love hearing you guys going to work right now. I just have a... You know, I don't think you should be suspended or fined or whatnot. I think you should just personally apologize to him, go up to him, and just personally just tell him, hey, it was just a really bad joke, and just kind of just hash it out, just shake hands, and that's it. There's nothing to it but that. Just shake hands and move on.
All right, Eddie, thank you very much for the phone call. It sounds like that's sort of the direction. I don't know if he's going to talk to Ohtani directly or not, but it does sound like, I mean, he's apologized on the air. I want to go to... This could be a tricky call. Let's go to Christopher in Newport Beach. Christopher, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, buddy. I just wanted to touch base with you. Thanks for putting me on.
Sure.
Jack Morris should not be suspended, fired, or anything like that. His apology, he should actually attack himself in a way, whereas he should say, you know, these types of things should be cut out of our announcement. Because me, I'm a black man, and I can't stand when people say to me, hey, thank you, brother. What's up, brother? And I'm like, I am not your brother. Mm. How do you get the right to say that to me?
Okay, loud and clear asking. This is a good call.
I don't know where this falls, but this is what I mean.
Let me ask you something. A lot of people, do you believe the word brother has transcended the African-American community? Because I'll say brother to a friend. Hey, brother, what's up? It has nothing to do with race whatsoever.
No, I understand that. And Venice Mace, I was about to call you that. But Mace, what you're saying is that you feel it's okay to say that. And again, that could be indoor, not outdoor, because you might bite your tongue, hold your tongue. You're just someone that might be able to do that, but most people can't. I mean, we live in a society where it's perpetual. How about that?
Yeah, okay, I buy that. Christopher, thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, I'll say what's up, brother, to Jorge when we first jump on the line.
Yeah, it's become like a greeting now. I used to have a friend who, every time he would see you, he had this saying. He would say, like, so good to see you, my friend. He was my friend.
My friend.
And then I thought I was like, really special, but then he just said it to everybody.
Well, you know, it's...
And I was like, okay.
You know, it's funny, Jim Hill, who I know is a listener to the show, and thank you very much, Jim.
Which Jim Hill, though? Because there's 12 of them.
Yeah, this is the Jim Hill.
The Jim Hill, not one of the
clones.
Asked the
first question at every single press conference that we have in Southern California sports.
Yeah.
So, Jim, I know he knows who I am, but when he sees me, he'll say, what's up, babe?
He does do that to me too, yeah.
And he uses babe for a lot of
people.
Yeah,
that's his word. Yeah.
That is his word. Hang on, let's get one more call in. Leo in Santa Clarita. Leo, you're on 710. What's up, man? Hey, Leo. Oh, lost him. I'm surprised that Jack Morris was
suspended.
Isn't
Jack Morris, though, this isn't the first time he said something kind of not great. Right? And you kind of know it. Doesn't have a reputation.
He's known for being an a-hole, like, for sure. And he's one of the guys who was, like, super misogynistic against women when they started going into locker rooms and reporting. And he's also one of the, like, three guys who never apologized. And he just says, oh, that's just how things were back then.
Yeah. Back in my day.
Well, let me throw something. Okay, so this is... I found that story, that specific story.
Jack Morris said to a
Free Press summer intern, quote, I don't talk to women when I'm naked unless I'm on top of them or they're on top of me. That's what Jack Morris said. So that's about as misogynistic as you can get. That story is from 1990.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 21 years later. Lindsay contends that Jack Morris is is a jerk all the time. Yeah.
Horrible
comment.
I remember that quote.
He's known for being a misogynistic and racist guy. That's like his MO.
So do you believe, Lindsay, that the penalty should be greater because he's got a past history of saying nasty stuff?
Yeah, because like I said, he's also the same guy who refused to apologize for being not even just insensitive, but really rude and out of line towards women when they started covering baseball and going into the locker rooms. Like, he, instead of saying, like, oh, I'm sorry, I was a jerk, he says, well, that's not my fault. Like, that's your editor's fault for putting you into a man's clubhouse. Like, that's not, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
I have trouble with this generational thing. Like, I don't know how old Jack Morris is, but definitely older than me. But my dad, when he first moved to Palm Desert from Cleveland, Ohio, my dad made an anti-Semitic comment. And he basically said that he used Jew as a verb.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah.
And you obviously cannot use Jew as a verb, like getting a good price on something. And I said to I corrected my dad. I said, Dad, can't say it. Look around this. He said it in a public place, too. Look around this public pool. Many of these people, many of your neighbors are Jewish. You've got to banish that from your vocabulary. Mm-hmm. And he did. But where my dad was from, central Pennsylvania, and then Cleveland, Ohio, at the age of 72 years old, has a cultural blind spot. Not okay. I corrected him, but not okay. So where does that cultural blind spot start? In the case of Jack Morris, I've heard people say this, that they think he was doing an impression of Elmer Fudd, which is just a lie.
No.
That's just absolutely not true.
Yeah.
Absolutely not true. Yeah, it's an interesting subject. Yeah. I don't think he should be fired. He's suspended now indefinitely by the Detroit Tigers. So we'll wait and see what we find out. But as of this moment, suspended. And I hope that's the extent of the punishment. I do hope that's the extent of the punishment, because he did apologize right away. And we've got to allow people in situations like this to learn from their mistakes, to handle things differently in the future, to apologize. And in particular, you know, Momo, we're in a fantasy baseball league with a guy named Jason Chu. You know
mm-hmm.
Jason.
Oh, yeah.
Jason is sort of my conscience when it comes to stuff like this. And he said, I see Morris as indefinitely suspended. I don't think he like that could ever feel empathy or understand why what he did was wrong. He's a straight white professional athlete, though I don't agree with firing him. A friend of mine I decided to stop talking to because he could not understand why I'm making Asian jokes to me was bad. He just knows it bothers me but can't understand what he's doing wrong. He never experienced anything like that himself. Ironically, his wife is a Latina. And if you complain about it, you're told you have a huge chip on your shoulder. Let me tell you, if you bring this up on the show, I will listen. And there it is. There's Jason Chu on the show. So Jason says, suspended, not fired.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds like it may go that way. Sounds like it may go that way. All right, we got a little off course there, but I thought that was a good conversation. Coming up next for you, I'm going to spin the wheel of questions. And Momo, your favorite team, apparently a bunch of jerks. Your favorite team, the Raiders, a bunch of jerks, and they've got a rep in Vegas.
We'll
That's coming
see.
Up next for you, too. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go.
Hey, guess who's here?
Billie Eilish?
Wait, we can't say he's here until we play until his music starts, right?
Oh, okay, hold on.
He's got to get pumped up before I saw him. You know?
He's got to get all
pumped up.
Oh, yeah, don't give it away.
He's in the building. He's walking in the building.
He's in the building. MT is in the building. All right, let's spin the wheel of questions while we wait for MT to bust through the door. Jorge, let's give it a spin. All right. And by the way, while I'm at it, I want to mention that Wheel of Questions is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you've got a new car just sitting around, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota really is the house of yes. All right, here we go. You notice a self destructive behavior pattern in a friend who is clearly unaware of it? Would you point it out? You notice a self-destructive behavior pattern in a friend who is clearly unaware of it. Would you point it out? Momo.
I do it all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah. I'm pretty big on that.
So,
like, I have a couple of friends and we have the same conversation over and over and over. And I'm like, you choose men who are unavailable, and then you have these relationships that are mostly in your head, and you set yourself up for disappointment every time. Like, you know, you're interpreting signs. I mean, it's not high school anymore. Like, stop choosing men who are unavailable. Stop it. You're just going to keep setting yourself up for these bad relationships. All, like, it's totally self-destructive, 100%. Right.
Wow. So yeah. And you've got multiple friends in this situation?
A couple of those. Oh, I just had one of those talks last night. One of my best girlfriends. One of those talks last night.
So corrected, you talked to her about that self-destructive behavior. All right. Lindsay, what about you? Would you talk to a friend with a self-destructive behavior pattern who is completely unaware of it?
Well, it depends on the friend and it depends on the behavior. Because if they're... You know, if it's affecting me and our friendship, then I would point it out. Like someone who like always cancels on you or, you know, I don't know if that's really self-destructive, but that's pretty crappy. I don't know. I guess it depends on what exactly they're doing.
If you're really trying to help them, you tell them what you see. You have to do it gently. But, you know, with one of my literally, I'll give you an example. One of my girlfriends has this pattern, again, choosing unavailable men. And then.
Yep.
Okay. And then she gets disappointed and she's like, I just can't keep hearing no. I get rejected all the time. I'm like, because you choose unavailable men. Okay? Like, this guy, take the first no. When they say no the first time, don't keep trying.
Like, right.
It's 10 things I hate about you. That one thing is when a guy gives you a no right off the top, he's probably not going to change his mind. Okay. Stop trying to make that happen. And it's hurting her over and over and over. She has these like sad relationships all the time. And I'm like, yeah, because you keep picking the same guy. Oh, yeah.
Jorge, what about you? You notice a self-destructive pattern in a friend who is clearly unaware of it. Do you point it out?
I have done that in the past, but stop doing it because they're so into their world and their destructive world, whatever they're doing, that they don't even listen to you.
Yeah.
It's that bad, Mace. Like, I can't.
Yeah, they don't listen.
Chime in anymore. Like, I just, you know, man.
I know. Finally, I just say, yeah, I've already told you this, and like 5 years from now, you're gonna repeat this back to me like it was your idea.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I will say I told you so. But I cannot keep having this conversation over and over.
Yep.
There are four words that are applicable here for me. Huh. None of my business.
Oh.
It's none of my business. It's not my job to point out mistakes people are making. Huh. You know what? It's your life. I am, you know, very libertarian in this way.
What if they ask?
If they ask me directly about something, well, I'll tell them if they ask me directly, but I'm not going to just volunteer information that other people don't want.
I mean, I have one of my best friends from like elementary school, and I just keep telling him, dude, you're doing all of these things to keep your, to try to live the life you're about to live, but all you need to do is just stop being terrible to yourself. Like, he eats too much, he's out of shape, he's gained a lot of weight, and I'm like, take it from me, like, you need to lose weight. I flat out said this the other day. I'm like, you're so self-destructive, you destroy all your relationships, you're destroying your body, and it's
God.
All, yeah,
you're that's a to
yeah.
me, that's a dress and
die. I would
you're,
never
you're just
say
crushing
that
those
yeah
words.
Do it all
yeah.
the time.
I would
time.
Never
Wait a minute.
Say that to someone.
It's your relationships are bad. Your health is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, who wants to be
Stop
friends with
doing
Ramona?
That. Okay. Brutal honesty.
God. Just.
He asked.
I mean, if somebody asks, I guess I'll give them the truth. I guess I'll shoot straight.
Yeah.
But
you
usually
tell me the truth. I think you're pretty good about that.
When you ask me.
Yeah, I ask you, though.
Yeah, you do ask me. When somebody asks, I'm happy to volunteer my information, but other than that, I'm keeping it to myself because we're all grown-ups and we're all living our lives our own way, and we've got to make our own mistakes. All right, so there's your wheel of questions for today. So, Momo, you're a Raiders fan.
Yes.
In this Rams town.
Okay.
You're on Raiders Island in this Rams town.
You just keep listening to your friends.
And Vital Vegas is a Las Vegas focused blog for news, rumors, tips, and WTF.
Oh.
And they are threatening to expose players, coaches, and family members of the Raiders. Here's what they say. Reminder, bad behavior by Raiders players, coaches, and family members won't be tolerated in Las Vegas. Mm. Multiple reports of rudeness and poor or zero tipping.
Whoa.
We will start naming names and flog asses if this horse blankery continues.
Ooh, I like
it. You play sports, you're not royalty. Their excuse for the bad behavior is that they are the team that is contributing millions to Vegas, so these folks think they're entitled. That's not going to fly. We've got Twitter. Stiff the crew, they'll be shamed hard.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
I am too. I just think there's no excuse for bad tipping.
I agree with that, yeah.
And do you think tipping has gotten better or worse since the pandemic?
I think it's gotten better because the apps that you order from like sort of force it upon you. When you order on Postmates, the standard tip that they put on there is 15%.
Yeah.
And let's, I think if it was up to you, most people would be like, let me give them $5.
Let me throw that out. If you work for Grubhub, if you work for Postmates, if you work for one of the delivery services, there are a couple others. If you work for one of those, have the tips gotten better or worse? I have consciously started to tip better.
Me too. I consciously change it from 15 to 20 or 25.
Yeah, I started tipping better because I know people are scuffling and people are having a hard time and it's tough to make a living and all that stuff. And that's a way that I can directly help somebody is with a good tip. What could be the reason? The other question, have you ever got a bad tip from a famous person or a great tip from a famous person? That's another interesting angle on this. I, as a semi-public D-list, F-list celebrity, am always conscious about tipping, knowing that somebody could know who I am, and I don't want to be the a-hole who left a bad tip. So I go out of my way to leave good tips whenever possible. But part of that is that, you know, I don't want to get nailed the way these Raiders guys are apparently are going to get nailed by this Vegas blog, which has got 95,000 followers. So a pretty significant following.
Can I ask a question about tipping etiquette?
Sure.
All right. So when you travel and you valet your car.
Yes.
I think it's pretty standard to give a tip to the valet when you first check in. You go, okay, slip them a 5, slip them a 10, right, whatever you got. But then if I'm getting my car like 3 or 4 times a day.
Got a tip.
Every time.
Got a tip every time.
What if I don't have the small change?
Then you look like kind of a jerk.
I know. Like there's
because I don't carry a lot of money on me. I hardly carry any cash on me. But yeah, no, I think you've got a tip. When I lived in New York, I carried basically a wad of
fives and ones. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
nowadays, I think it's perfectly appropriate, Momo, to be like, hey, I don't have any cash on me. Do you have like Cash App or Venmo or something so I can give you a tip? I feel like that's totally acceptable.
Oh, that's a good
nowadays.
Idea. Yeah, because there's been a couple of times where like I'll go to a hotel, I'll drop my car off, I'll slip them a fiver. I usually do 5. Sometimes I'll do 10, depending on, you know. But I try to go, if I have like a 10, I'll slip it to him at the beginning, and I'm like, this doesn't really cover it for the rest of the time, but I don't have any other small bills. Like, I'm not going to slip a 20 every time.
No, no, no.
That gets, I mean, I could be $100 a day if I'm tipping $100, you know. But but I do feel bad if I don't have that, but then I also don't have time to go get, to always be getting small bills.
Right.
Yeah,
I ran into that situation once when I was at the airport, and I like sprained and broke my foot at the time, and I had somebody like took me in a wheelchair all the way to the gate, and I was running late, and so they were like running me through the airport with
it's
in
really
a wheelchair,
nice.
And I wanted to tip them, but I didn't have any cash on me, so I asked them for their Venmo, and I Venmoed them.
Great, see that's
there
a good idea.
That's smart. That's smart.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But then I'd be like, here, let me Venmo you $3. That's kind of lame too.
Let's go to Lou on the 210. Lou, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All is good.
Hey. I just wanted to talk. So I drive for Postmates. Well, now it's Uber Eats because they kind of bought Postmates. Yep. So it's all one thing now.
Yes.
But I want to just talk about the tips have gotten a little bit better. But I'm not really a fan of these people who shame people who don't tip. You know, you should tip. But the real quarrel that people who servers, Postmates delivery drivers. The real issue we have is with the actual industry. It's not with the people who tip. Mm. Yeah, most of our wages come off of tips, but that's because of the way the industry's set up. It's not, you can't expect people to tip $5 off of a $9 order. It's not every time. It just seems unreasonable.
So you're saying that you make the better part of your living from tips as opposed to what Uber Eats pays you?
Yeah, same with server. I used to have a server job as well. Servers, as a Postmates driver, you get paid majority based from tipping. And now when you don't get a tip, it hurts you, and I'm the one in the situation. But I just don't expect how you can expect somebody to tip you. It takes away the whole meaning of the word tip. It's a tip. You know what I mean? It's a tip. It's a gratuity.
Yes.
It's just unfortunate that the industries have been shaped to where everyone's forced to live off of gratuity.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, there are issues in this gig economy with people being underpaid and living on tips. I guess that's a huge issue. He believes that he's getting pretty good tips. They've improved a little bit since the pandemic.
I know what he's saying, though, because sometimes you order something that's really cheap.
Yep.
And you know, cost $9 or $10 or whatever, and then you know the tip is gonna be like whatever the 15% is like $2.
Right.
You're like, okay, I feel bad tipping somebody $2.
Yeah, no, it's hard. I tend to tip more even on a small, like if I order six donuts, it doesn't cost that much money, but I still tip a 10 spot.
Yeah, that's nice.
I still tip.
So you're basically paying as much for the tip as you are for the donuts.
Correct, exactly. I'm basically doubling the price or close to doubling the price. All right, so if you're a restaurant server, have tips gotten better or have they gotten worse after the pandemic? And have you ever had a bad tip or a great tip from a famous person? 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.